This is live on Joy 99.7 FM and Hits 103.9 FM here in Accra, on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, and streaming worldwide at myjoyonline.com, X Spaces, and YouTube. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via our partner stations, including Radio Max in Takrade, ATL FM in Cape Coast, Volta Premier 98.1 in Ho, Radio Justice Tamale, Jakpa FM Bupe, KTU Radio Koforidua, Sky 96.7 in Sunyan, Dreams FM Bolgatanga, and Radio Max Takrade. Coming up this afternoon, NADMO intensifies efforts to provide relief as thousands of victims of Monday's devastating floods appeal for urgent assistance, with many running out of food and clean drinking water. We have the special story of a family of 12 left homeless after flood destroyed everything in their dream home, now leaving them to confront the daunting task of rebuilding their lives from almost nothing.
Clothing, even as I'm sitting now, even what to wear under, I don't have it. I'm naked.
NADMO has meanwhile partnered Joy News to raise funds to assist those in need. Plus, the mounting sanitation challenges and potential public health risks in the aftermath of the floods. Also coming up, High Court orders former SNIT boss Solomon Asamoah and ex-board chairman Professor Christopher Amiyao Ekumfi to open their defense in the $2 million SkyTrain financial loss case. In sports, drama at the FIFA World Cup with late goals and heartbreaks for African nations last night. And in the Ashanti region, the Security Council is on a manhunt for individuals involved in illegal mining operations on large tracts of land threatening the Agenda 111 hospital project in Adansiasukwa. These and more with me, Gemma Appiah. This is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible journalism. Please stay for details. Four days after the devastating floods, the emergency is far from over. In several affected communities, families are still struggling to find food, clean water, and safe shelter, while health experts warn of possible disease outbreaks. This afternoon, the focus shifts from rescue to relief, recovery, and accountability. Who has received support? Who has been left behind? And when will the government's 300 million Ghana Cedis Flood Relief and Mitigation Fund begin to make a meaningful impact? We find out shortly. Before that, a family's dream home at Mile 11 now hangs in the balance after Monday's floods buried parts of the building under mud and debris. Maxwell Agbagba reports.
Days after the heavy rains, residents at Mile 11 in the Wager Bar municipality are still counting the cost of the devastation. I'm at a community known as Hand of God, where the destruction remains evident. The entire area has been cut off, with access roads rendered impassable, even motorbikes are unable to get through. Now, one of the hardest hit residents is the owner of one-story, five-bedroom house. Her cries you can hear in the background. From what is visible, nearly a quarter of the building is buried under silt. The house, which sits in a valley, was overwhelmed when torrents of water rushed down from a nearby hill, carrying huge volumes of mud and debris that eventually settled inside the building. Now, the flood water inundated every room, leaving behind thick deposits of silt that have made the house completely uninhabitable. The large cracks have appeared in part of the structure, raising fears that the building could collapse if urgent intervention is not taken. Mattresses, clothing, furniture, and other household belongings have all been destroyed, leaving the family with little they could salvage from what was once their home. I have the owner of the property here, Mrs. Osei, here with me. She has been crying since we arrived here on the ground. Family members are trying to console her. Mrs. Osei, I'm told your family of 12. Where are the others? Where are your children? Where did you sleep?
Please, we are homeless. We are totally homeless. Now everybody have scattered. As I'm speaking now, we are only three here. The rest, I don't know where they are. So what we do is, early the next day, then we all come and gather and see what we can do.
What are your immediate needs right now? You're homeless now at this point. You don't have a home. Where did you spend the night?
I went and sleep at a neighbor's place. Almost like down there. Down the end. Now, clothes to wear. We don't have clothes. We don't have food. We don't even we don't have a plate to set. Even when we buy some like rice or anything, we can cook with everything. Our cars, our kitchen, everything is sink.
Is that Nadmo came here? Were they able to give you any assistance?
No. The man came, he said he cannot assist us. He's going to come and write a report.
Okay.
Up to now, he hasn't been here.
Okay, so what are your immediate needs right now?
Our immediate need is shelter. Even where we can sleep, because we cannot sleep at the place that we'll be going. They are also sleeping with their children. And then we go and sleep beside them. We go there and then we'll sleep beside them. Yesterday, like this, I was on the floor and my other sister was also sleeping beside the where we went and sleep, their children's side. Clothing, even as I'm sitting now, even what to wear under, I don't have it. I'm naked inside me.
An optimistic help will be on the way soon, yeah?
Thank you.
Yeah, let me finally speak to a woman. Mrs. Osei's neighbor, actually. The entire community has been cut off, and she's not been out since Friday. Hello. What's your name? Eunice.
Yes, right? My name is Eunice.
Yes.
No, I've not been out since Friday. As you can see, I cannot even drive through here. Most of us have not been out since Friday. The road is so bad, and this is what we normally do. When it rains, we have to feel it. So that we can, but this damage cannot be filled manually again. We come together as a community to face the road and then use, but what it has created now, it's terrible. It's so terrible. And so cars cannot move, motors cannot even pass, you know.
I see school children walking long distances to school.
They have to walk to school, and some of the students or some of the school children don't even go to school.
Well, the Director General of the National Disaster Management Organization, Joseph Kuyong, says the distribution of relief items to some affected persons has already begun.
Here we are looking at over 3,000 victims. And the National Disaster Management Organization always makes sure that we are donating to the people who really need the assistance. That is those who were actually affected. As you can see, most people are gathered here, but not all of them were victims. So we go by our list. The donation this morning is a combination of what the president has directed us to do, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, as well as our compatriots from Qatar, the Qatar charity. They are here with some items to support the people of Ayawaso Central. So this morning, we are here to give relief to over 3,000 victims of the flooding that happened in Accra. And then basically to ensure that some relief is brought to them as directed by His Excellency the President.
But is it enough? Director of Man-Made Disasters at NADMO, Maxo Onibe, says despite government's ongoing interventions, the scale of the disaster remains overwhelming. He's appealing to the public and corporate organizations to support the relief effort.
This year, we've been privileged with most of the disasters that happen across the country. My Director General have been able to mobilize a lot of resources to reach out to the people down there. But this, of course, is a national issue. And it's so devastating that we alone cannot handle it. And so we need people like you to be able to come on board so that we can all coordinate this particular event here.
How much do you estimate that this disaster in Accra will require, you know, in order for NADMO to be of help to those who need it?
I cannot put a figure to it, but I know it is daunting. It's daunting. We're looking at, first, my priority here is about a human being. Those that are affected now, those that are trying to put lives together. You go around doing the assessment and you are down, your spirit is down if you're a human being.
Meanwhile, heaps of refuse continue to mount across parts of the capital in the aftermath of the floods, raising fears of sanitation and health risks. Listen to some residents expressing concern over the situation.
Where I see this very critical is our health. In the city, you know, a lot of people move around doing business. So wherever any field is heaped, we must sense that the air is polluted. Now, apart from the environment, and how long is this going to be here?
The friend, government officials, Mr. Borano and Mr. Omefa, from 3 days today, it's your told about Monday. Up to another Thursday, about 4 days today. Oh, from the Bame Bassa, up to now, we have a Fabola, and Bola Nosono, Kruma, Amakrumina Bassa, Amakrumina Tantani.
I'm in Kumasako, hi, and if you're going back at 12, and if you're 20, I'm for a memory, I say, and to say, oh, I'm going to say, 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 I'm going to say,
Bola nom de guoni nina, and so I affect ye, geno muno maya kokoni na once nan in your maya affect ye. And I said, car about bad ass. In soon as I toy a visa can't be ma, and I said, Julia go back to the gutter. The same problem that ya faces from Monday, no. Say, if me just see, I mean, you know me the moon in our semi.
Chairman of the Civil Technical Division of the Ghana Institution of Engineering, Michael Obenkunedu, says immediate desilting of drains and the demolition of structures obstructing waterways must be treated as urgent interim measures to reduce the risk of future flooding.
We've actually few services which initially allowed infiltration into the soil. So the original natural way of dealing with precipitation has been altered. And now everything is being forced into the small drainage system, and it can't handle it. It will go well.
So today, that's a problem we're faced with. Before we get into a short, medium-term solution, what do we do now?
Well, immediately we try to more or less save the situation where people are usually endangered. Our responders should help. Then we should move to the major two points. There are certain places where obviously current developments are impeding the water from getting into the final destination. We should be able to identify those places and then clear those places.
You heard Michael Obenkunedu, he's chairman of the Civil Technical Division of the Ghana Institution of Engineering. Let's now speak to our reporters. Stephen Mensah just returned from the ground. Stephen, where are you and what can you report?
Well, Gemma, in Alaju, which is one of the communities that have been hardest hit by Monday's rains, these communities are still battling the impact of the rains, and the flood waters have receded, but then the devastation is still evident. Many of these communities remain covered in mud, and some damaged belongings have been piled up outside and along the Alaju drains, and some of these residents are still battling with the impact of the rains.
Thank you very much. Let's go to the phone line and speak to my colleague Ramat Bashiru. She's currently with the Gender Minister. Ramat, where are you currently and what has the minister been saying? Ramat, kindly unmute for me. Unfortunately, we are struggling to get a connection to Ramat Bashiru, as and when we get here, we'll bring you that interview. My colleague, Fred Smith, joins me in studio with details of how you can support the affected victims. Fred.
We had the NADMO officials coming in here, Maxwell, explaining to us how they desperately need support for the victims of this disaster that we had. So the multimedia group has partnered them, and we have advertised the telephone number. It's available on our website, on our socials, on our TV, everywhere. And the account number is 0251-427-880-3503. I'll go over it again. It's 0251-427-880-3503, and this is the UBA Bank, the Tema Industrial Area branch. You can also bring relief items directly to the offices of the multimedia group right here in Kokomnimle.
Thank you very much, Fred. And we are all encouraging ourselves to support those who were affected by the floods. Ramat Bashiru is on the line to us. Ramat, can you hear me now?
Yes, Gemma.
What has the minister been saying?
She's expected some of the affected the flood on Monday. She said that the is aimed at obtaining first-hand of the situation so that they can provide the appropriate items to the affected. And so she said, I would want to engage her from her. Sister, your life. Minister, what are some of the items that we are providing? We understand that children are adversely affected by this water. So what are some of the items?
Thank you very much. Once again, good afternoon to you all. So this afternoon, we are here on the instructions of His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, President of the Republic of Ghana, who has said the 300 million be released from the to support part of the support to all affected victims. And so today we are here as part of this NADMO, let me say the interior and NADMO and the security agency, the team that the president has put together working to ensure that all affected persons receive some form of relief while to work on the other things to ensure that we prevent or minimize the reoccurrence of it. So this morning, NADMO got here with some of the items that they are receiving, bags of rice, blankets, mattresses, toiletries, cups, plates. So it's okay, toiletries, and then oil, cooking oil.
These people are expected to give this item.
All affected persons in Kuo. So as we speak, we are in Kuo. Domi is equally receiving, W Kumen are also receiving, and then Adan areas are also receiving. Yesterday, the team was able to move to Lada, the Kutupom, and a few other places. So this is going to continue until almost every affected person needs support. And then those that there are also plans for those that have lost their loved ones. And so together with the team, we will roll out all of these things by immediately ensuring that even those living with relatives and some good Samaritans, and then those that are housed at a safe shelter will receive some supplies so that they don't become a burden to those that are taking care of them.
So you had my colleague Ramat Bashiru speak to the Gender Minister Agnes Naa-Momo-Lartey. Now, even before floodwaters recede to give relief to residents of Samraboy in the western region, illegal miners have resumed work along the airstrip close to the banks of the Tano River. Mining along the Tano and Samre rivers have led to severe flooding of Samraboy and surrounding villages, with residents sleeping in classrooms for days. But despite the impact of illegal mining on the flooding situation in Samraboy, some illegal miners have started operations in the town. Erastus Asari Donko reports.
Years of mining along the Tano and Samre rivers has exposed Samre Boy in Suechiri and others to extreme flooding. Almost half of the Samre Boy township has been submerged for days.
For the first time we are seeing this in many years. I think since 1968, that is where we saw the first flooding. That was across the whole country. But this one is for the first time in many, many years. Though it's a natural disaster, but a lot that I'm seeing in some numbers depends on the galaxy inside. Reasons are that all the banks had been washed away. The galaxy has moved everything out.
But even before the flood waters could recede, the illegal miners are back mining along the tunnel and the airstrip area. Excavators are seen on site digging areas recently flooded by overflows from the Tano River. Our investigations reveal men known in the Amenfi area are leading the illegal onslaught even in the midst of a flood. The illegal activity is yet to receive a reaction from the police, who are situated at a walking distance from the airstrip. Concerns arrive that any illegal mining activity could worsen the situation, as experts predict more raids to come. Reporting for Joy News, Erastus Asaredonko, Samre Boy, Western Region.
Let's go back to our earlier story where I told you that the capital city is engulfed with filth after Monday's floods. Chairman of the Ghana Association of Public Health and Technical Officers, Joseph Owusu Asante, joins me live on Zoom with more. Welcome to the Midday News. 4 days after the floods, what are the biggest public health threats facing the affected communities?
Thank you, Lady. Good afternoon. I'm glad to have this opportunity. I don't know whether you can hear me from your end. Can you confirm?
Yes, I can.
Good. So, thank God, after this flood, we are up working. I think the biggest problem facing us is the huge levels of contamination that has happened in communities and homes. So, the flood has mixed a lot of things around us, and that exposes us to a lot of disease-causing organisms, we call them pathogens. And then also, we also have compromised domestic environment that has led to a very low ambient temperature. If you like, the system has become cold, and when you get too cold, that also promotes or lowers your immunity, and you can easily come down with disease conditions. So this is where we are, and that is where we have to battle issues from.
How do we protect ourselves then?
Thank you. So we largely are faced with waterborne disease, water-based disease, and water-related diseases. And these run from cholera, typhoid, hepatitis A and E. Then you have remote ones like schistosomiasis, or what we call behazia. Malaria, dengue fever, yellow fever, all these are conditions that can flourish. So, asking for what we should do, I think one of the things we want to put everybody on alert is that immediately we have to observe a high level of hygiene. So the COVID days, what I call the COVID dividend, must be revisited. Can we have hand washing systems at public places, at household levels, and throughout our lives, such that we are able to reduce contacts or block the transmission of the pathogens within our environment. Then also, we will need to increase temperature around us. So the food we eat, we must get them hot, so that if there's any pathogen that is operating around, the heat will deal with it. Your human body equally needs some level of heat. And so it is important that at this time, at our homes, particularly children, let's keep them warm. So let's clothe ourselves very well, and let's also avoid using or eating cold foods.
We are grateful for your time, Joseph Owusu Asante, chairman of the Ghana Association of Public Health Technical Officers. Still to come, in the Shanti region, the Security Council is on a manhunt for individuals involved in illegal mining operations on large tracts of land threatening the Agenda 111 hospital project in Adanse Asokwa. More after the break.
When I wake up in the morning, I brush my teeth with Kale Charcoal Toothpaste. This gives me confidence all day.
Anytime you meet Ama, don't be surprised I smile showing my beautiful white teeth. Because I don't have cavity, thanks to Kale Charcoal Toothpaste for its natural charcoal properties. In fact, we are like twins. I can't go without my Kale Charcoal Toothpaste.
That be why I dey use Kale Charcoal Toothpaste morning and night when I dey go bed self. It dey make my teeth white where it dey commot every scent from my mouth inside. My confidence level dey go up, so I dey show my 32 teeth all.
Introducing the Kale Charcoal Toothpaste, formulated with activated bamboo charcoal powder, ensures whiter teeth and removes bad breath. The strong natural property of the activated bamboo charcoal removes bacteria, absorbs surface stains on our teeth caused by coffee, wines, and tobacco. Welcome, Kale Charcoal Toothpaste. Kale Charcoal Toothpaste. Sankofa Yenji.
Kale, happy smile.
This advert is FDA approved.
Welcome back. The High Court has dismissed submissions of no case filed by former SNIT Director General Solomon Asamoah and former Board Chair Professor Christopher Ameyau Ekumfi in the ongoing trial over the alleged $2 million loss to the state. The court ruled that the prosecution had presented sufficient evidence requiring the two accused persons to open their defense and explain why they should not be convicted. The case now proceeds to the defense stage. Fatau Bayaga is a member of our legal affairs desk and joins me with the background. Fatal, the case stems from the Ghana Infrastructure Investment Fund's controversial investment of $2 million in the proposed Accra SkyTrain project, which never materialized.
Exactly, Gemma, as you said. Now, the former CEO of the fund, Solomon Asamoah, and former board chairman, Professor Christopher Ameyau Ekumfi, have been charged with causing financial loss to the state and willfully causing the loss by authorizing the release of the funds without adequate safeguards or board approval, according to the prosecution. Gemma, both men have denied the charges after the prosecution closed its case. They argue there was no case for them to answer, but the High Court has now rejected that submission and ordered them to open their defense.
Well, also, the Supreme Court has unanimously dismissed four constitutional suits challenging the president's discretionary authority and the processes used to suspend former Chief Justice Gertrude Saki Tokunu, describing the actions as unmeritorious. I will bring you details of that in subsequent bulletins. Let's do some sports-related stories now. Last night, there was drama at the FIFA World Cup with late goals and heartbreaks for African nations. Joy Sports, Mubarak Haruna has more.
African teams experienced a night of mixed emotions at the 2026 FIFA World Cup. DR Congo looked set for a famous victory after taking the lead against England. But captain Harry Kane struck twice late on to complete a 2-1 comeback win. Senegal also suffered a late heartbreak. The Lions of Teranga led Belgium 2-0 before Belgium scored three unanswered goals to seal a dramatic victory. Ivory Coast had lost 2-1 to Norway, while South Africa conceded a stoppage time winner against Canada.
Now, the Ashanti Regional Security Council is on a manhunt for individuals suspected to be involved in illegal mining operations on a large tract of land behind the Agenda 111 hospital project at Adansiasukwa in the Ashanti region. Two excavators and a pickup truck have since been impounded by the Anti-Illegal Mining Task Force in a raid on Wednesday following media reports. Before we have details in this report.
For years, residents in the Adansiasukwa district of the Ashanti region have witnessed large operations of illegal mining, with the latest activity happening just behind the walls of the Agenda.